Open your Bibles, if you would, this afternoon to the book of 1 Peter. Chapter number 1. Beginning verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your precious salvation that we have in Christ. Lord, this morning as we thought about the precious blood and how wonderful it is to know what your blood has bought for us and brought to us and done for us, God, we ask you now to help us at this time as we look at your word, to love you and honor you, Lord, and to learn the truth about the precious things of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We talked this morning about the precious blood, and we think about Peter, and we're thinking about Peter and how, you know, he was so sure that he would not deny Christ. He was so sure that he was ready to die for Christ, ready to suffer for Christ. And yet, he denied him three times. And then that we looked at the agony of that for him as Jesus looked at him. And he remembered those words and how crushed he was in his heart and how he wept bitterly over that. And yet, the Lord had prayed for him, hadn't he? And he said that Satan wanted to sift him, but he said, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. When our converted strengthen the brethren. When you realize, he says, when you get your mind right, he says, when you understand that even though you've denied me, I still love you. Wow. What a life-changing thing that is. I mean, he denied him. He didn't just ignore him. He didn't just not see him. He denied him knowingly. And yet Jesus loved him. It changed Peter's life. Changed it. And so, as he wrote in the epistles, he uses this word precious. And this afternoon, I wanted to look at another precious thing. You know, they say February is they have Valentine's Day on February by love and everything. Of course, it's President's Day too, you know, president birthdays and stuff like that. And so there are some precious things in our lives, and I think I'm just going to take these next few Sundays, and we're going to preach on precious things. We're going to do one more this afternoon. Precious things. Peter, there speaking in 1 Peter, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how in his abundant mercy he begat us to a lively hope. Amen. Not a dead hope, not some boring thing, not some curious thing or something you got to wonder about. It's a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I'm going to tell you what, if you went to a funeral and all of a sudden saw the body get up and start shouting and dancing and jumping about, you'd be quite shocked, wouldn't you? I mean, that would just do something to you, wouldn't it? It'd just really freak you out, huh? But you know, that's what Jesus did. He came out of the dead, amen? He rose from the dead. And while I may die in this world, I'm going to be seen again. I love the way Job said it. He said, even though he kill me, yet with my eyes, I'm going to see him. Amen. It's a great thing. It's a lively hope we have in Christ. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible. Amen. You know, you might inherit some money from somebody and you might spend it all at once in one big shot. But this inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled. Nothing that taints it. There's nothing that we're going to have when we get there with the Lord and everything. If there's nothing there that's going to be tainted in any way. We won't feel guilty about having the good things that God is going to give us. We won't be aware of any think about it. You won't be aware of any unworthiness in heaven. You won't be aware of it because He's not going to remind us of those things anymore. Far as the east is from the west. That's how far He's cast our sins away. Never to think of them again. An undefiled inheritance. And He says, it fadeth not away. Time can't corrode it. Nothing can erase it. It will never lose its shine. You know, when I went to boot camp, they gave us brass. They gave us our brass. We had our everyday brass, and then we had our good brass. And from the first day of boot camp, we selected one of our end buckles and one of our belt buckles to be our polished brass. And from the first day of boot camp, we began working on that thing with some emery paper to get all the flaws and perfections out of it so that it was smooth. And then we started polishing it. And every day we polished that brass. Every day we polished it more, worked on it more, polished it because it was going to be shiny like a mirror. That was our good brass. The other you had to polish up, but it didn't look as shiny. But if you didn't polish it, you know what happened to it? It would start to get dark looking. Because it'd tarnish. And then they had those cannons, you know, that are made out of the copper. And they get all green. That's because they tarnish. Things tarnish here. But in heaven, there will be no diminishing of splendor. No diminishing of the splendor of heaven. You know, I love to take pictures on the way home. I'll see sunsets and sunrises and stuff as I'm driving around, and I'll take out my phone, my camera phone, and I'll take a picture of it. You know why? Because I know that in a few minutes it's all going to change. As glorious as it looks, as wonderful as it looks, in a few minutes it's going to change. So if you want to see it forever, you got to take a picture of it. But in heaven, it will never change. The glory, the splendor, it fadeth not away. And notice it says, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved in heaven for you. You know what reserved is? You call a restaurant and you reserve a table, right? So when you get up there, what do you expect? You expect, when you get there, you expect to get your table, don't you? Because you reserved it. Well, Jesus has made a reservation for us in heaven. These things, this inheritance is reserved for you. He says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now I want you to understand this. This salvation you and I have now. But people don't see it. Just like Jesus, He was slain from when? The foundation of the world. We read that verse in the Hebrews where it said that before the foundation of the world, and yet was manifest in these times. So it was already planned, but the time of manifesting, of showing it, didn't come then. It came later. And it's the same way with our salvation. I was saved back in 29 Palms, California, in a barracks out there, walking a fire watch. I was born again then. I was made a new creature. But you don't see that. But one day, this day, the day that is prepared to be manifest, everyone will see what Jesus has done to me. Everyone will see it. But notice where he said, notice this is wherein you greatly rejoice. Now, if you aren't rejoicing in that, you need to get your heart right. You need to start enjoying your salvation because this world is filled with manifest temptations. He says here, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You see, the devil and the world, they want to wear you out. And if you don't know it, that's the strategy of our president. He wants to wear freedom-loving Americans out. He wants you to lay down and stop demanding your liberty. He wants you to lay down and stop loving your freedom. He wants you to stop loving what's right. He wants you to start learning to capitulate to whatever other people say. He wants you to start learning to bow down and to forget that you are children of God. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. He says here that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, the trial of your faith to God is precious. It's precious. It's precious. He said it's more precious than gold that perisheth. He says, though it be tried with fire. And this afternoon, I want us to consider our precious trial. You know, that was a trial for Peter when he was tempted. I believe that it was intended to work exactly the work in Peter's heart that it did. And God, Jesus, told him beforehand it was going to happen. I believe he told him beforehand because he wanted Peter to remember that. Because no doubt while Peter was sitting in the back thinking about how awful he was and what a terrible thing he'd done, no doubt it popped back in his mind, yeah, but Jesus told me he knew I was going to do that. And no doubt it dawned on him. He told me. He knew because he wanted me to know that he knew. Because he loves me. You see, your and my trial of our faith is precious because of what it produces in us. Let's consider these things. First of all, the trial of afflictions. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the Bible says this, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the Bible says this, in verse number 1, more of them, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. In other words, he says, we want you to know how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. You see, these people, these Christians, were in a great trial of affliction. Because in the affliction, in the midst of that affliction, they had joy. They had joy. See, Jesus, he told us, he said, I want your joy to be full. You need to have full joy. Now, you know, anybody can smile when things are going right. But it is a joy of God, it is a joy of knowing Jesus that will bring a smile on your face and joy to your heart even when things don't go right. They're trials of afflictions. You know what an affliction is? Josh and I were grappling Thursday at karate. and Eddie, we were grappling. And he was showing us some things that you could do when you're grappling that would afflict the person who's grappling with you. You know, you poke them right here in the ribs, and that hurts. It hurts. It does. But you know what you got to do when somebody starts doing that? You got to just take it. You got to take it. Listen, the world, the devil, they want to afflict you. People in this world are not going to like you being a Christian, and they're going to want to afflict you. They're going to stick a knuckle in your ribs. You better learn to take it. And the way you take it is by not thinking about the knuckle in your ribs. Get your mind on something else. The Bible tells me that the joy of the Lord is your strength. The trial of afflictions is to be met with joy. He said, "In their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality." They were afflicted. There's afflictions on them, but they had joy. And then somebody saw somebody in need, and they just couldn't stand not giving to it. And out of their poverty, they gave a great amount. In spite of their poverty, it was the trial of afflictions that caused them to rise above their afflictions. And that's why you and I are going to have afflictions. But it's a precious trial. It's a precious thing to have someone put pressure on you because you love Jesus Christ, because you love the Word of God, because you love their soul, and you're giving them the gospel, and they put pressure upon you to afflict you. It's a joyous thing. He said when they do that to you, he says, count it all joy. Count it joy. Because your afflictions, your trial is a precious thing. It's a precious thing. You know, as you build up that resistance to those afflictions, the battle gets easier. It gets easier. Because you have a resistance to affliction. They don't knock you down as much. Amen? The trial of afflictions. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, look over there. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says this, in verse 36, he says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." There's a trial of cruel mockings. A trial of cruel mockings. Cruelty that people do because you love God. Cruelty. I don't mean just little snickers. I mean downright mean things they do. That's precious to God, and it ought to be precious to you. Because those trials of cruel mockings are meant to perfect you. They are meant to cause you to grow up in Christ. That's what they're meant to do. They were wandering around, it said, in sheepskin and goatskin. They'd wrap them up in a skin. They'd get it wet and let them go. And then as it dried out, it would shrink up. And they'd die because they couldn't breathe. That's not very nice, is it? No, but God said that they all died in faith. He said there, but God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That is, that you and I are to go through the same things. That trial of your faith is precious to God. That in spite of all the cruelty, what did he say? He said, pray for them that hate you and despitefully use you and abuse you, to pray for them. That's tough to do, isn't it? But what makes you more perfect in Christ? It will perfect you. It will mature you in Christ. You know, those first little afflictions, that's nothing compared to the cruel mockings. To the cruel mockings. So what's going to happen when people start doing that? Are you just going to fall apart like a bowl of Jell-O? What are you going to do? You going to crack up like an eggshell? Those trials are meant to perfect you, to make you stronger in Christ, to cause you to mature, to be able to look beyond the afflictions, to be able to deal with the mockings and the cruelty, to be able to deal with it. You know, we'd have some fine military if when there was trouble in the world, we sent them out somewhere, and when they got there, they saw the enemy and said, oh, they might hurt me, and they ran away. We'd have some fine military, wouldn't we? They'd be like Al-Qaeda or ISIS. They run away. What kind of military is that? What kind of army is that? You and I are soldiers of Christ. You got to be prepared to deal with the cruel mockings. That trial of your faith is precious. It's precious. Because when you look back at it and you see the victory God brings, it'll be precious to you too. The trial of cruel mockings. There's the trials of refinement as well. In the book of Job chapter 23, he says this, on the left hand where he doth work, he says, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. There are the trials of refinement. Trials of refinement. You know, you can go in the earth and they dig the mines because all those precious mineral, all the precious things like gold and everything that's in the rock, right? So you got to find it first. Then you got to mine it and get the raw material. But after that, you have to refine it. It has to be refined. It has to be purified. There's a song written. It says, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the path of each step that I take. And it's this verse here, when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. You know, God wants to refine you through the trials that you face. Because there's always impurities, aren't there? There's always something. We've got to get over ourselves. We really do. You know, we've got to learn we don't get everything our way. We don't. And we have to be refined. It's precious to God, that refining process, that purifying out the dross that's in our life. Those things where we come to realize that, you know, I really don't need this in my life. It's not necessarily a sin for me to have it, but it's just standing in my way of doing something for God. I just need to lay it aside. These are the trials that refine. When you're going again and again trying to do something for God, but you keep having this one thing that keeps up. It is that sin which doth so easily beset us that keeps us from running the race as we ought. It weighs us down. You know, I've never seen any of those guides in those on the track meets, the field meets. I've never seen them when they run those dashes and everything. I've never seen any of them run them with ankle weights on. And they got the lightest pair of shoes they can buy. And they're hardly dressed in anything because they don't want anything to slow them down. Maybe there's some things in your life that are slowing you down for God. There are those refining trials. Those things that every time you got to go serve God, that's tugging at you and you know it. You realize it. This is something that's weighing me down. That's precious to God. As you and I become more and more attuned to what He wants to do with our life. And then lastly, there are the trials of reward. And as a matter of fact, I can't remember who it was, but somebody quoted this verse this afternoon. And it's in the book of James, chapter number 1. He says this in verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." You see, there's a reward to our trials. Jesus is anxious to reward you and I. He wants to see these trials transform us. He wants to see us come to that place where we can receive that crown of life because we have loved Him. When I was in boot camp, they start us out. They shave our heads. And we went around wearing a gray long-sleeve t-shirt. We had camouflage pants on and boots, but the camouflage pants just hung down around our boots. That's because we were first phase, what they call first phase. We weren't Marines. We were just recruits. And so we had to go through some trials there. When we got in the second phase, we actually got to loose our pants up around the top of our boots, blouse them up. You know how you always see military people? That was a privilege. That was a reward for having made it that far. And so we got to look a little more like Marines. We still weren't Marines. We were still recruits. And then we got to the third phase. We got to roll up our sleeves. As a Hollywood Marine. Had our sleeves all rolled up. Actually started to look like something. Had our camis creased, ironed them, everything looked nice. But we still were just recruits. But there came a day when we finally got there. We dressed up in our uniforms and we passed in review. And we graduated from boot camp. Thereafter, we were Marines. When they saw me walking, I was walking on the parade deck going over to the PX. I was going over there, and as I was walking, I saw an officer, my first officer after I graduated. And I saluted, and I said, "Good afternoon, sir." He said, "Good afternoon, Marine." I was like, wow, he just called me a Marine. I was so excited. How much more? How much more when you get to heaven and you are given a crown of life by the Lord Jesus Christ because you endured those precious trials of your faith? You didn't quit. You didn't lay down. Didn't drown in a pool of self-pity. You put your faith in the Lord. You had recompense to the reward. You thought about the inheritance as incorruptible and undefiled, and they're in heaven reserved for you. And the trials of your faith, it's okay. Because of what you are going to receive from Christ. How much more important is it than that on that day to stand before Him and have Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a day that will be. Your trials of your faith are precious. It's a precious thing. And when you can look at your life, and when you can see things happen in your life and know that people are doing it, not because you're doing wrong, but just because you're trying to love them and love the Lord, then you can have joy, just like Jesus said. Rejoice, because that's the way they persecuted the others who believed in God before you. You're in good company. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this afternoon.